Henry is doing this taping for his film and for the one show tonight. The advantageous for him to leave about 6 o'clock and I'm already doing my meeting with him at 5 o'clock. Bring that at 6 and do that.
Well, he had, I think, look, I think if I had a meeting here, that's better. You know, rather than going to East, I could take the Marvel Wall show. I think I could get up the trunk. The meeting will be transferred to here. We'll have to hear this afternoon.
He's not taking 12-6 or 7-6.
John, I think it's very important that we have that meeting. The way to from there to here. For the reason Henry's coming to the Marvel Walter show now, that's a 40-minute ride up, 40-minute ride back. He's got to go at 6 o'clock. He didn't answer, but I just don't want to miss that much unless you feel it's important.
No, I heard last night that he was changing that. So
well, I heard that too, and that's why I didn't say second. If he's doing it here at 7 o'clock, then we'll have a meeting and he'll be. If he's doing it up there, if he's doing it here at 12 o'clock, we'll have a meeting. We have a meeting.
We're going to write it down. We our part of it up. See, we delayed it until 2:30, and he was cutting his tape at 12:30.
And we need to start the meeting.
We can start earlier. Well, we can start our part earlier. You don't need
right. To. Right. Then Henry's meeting here should start earlier. It's a very good idea. My point,
because we have 3 or 4 hours.
We've got a lot of work to do, and I'll be ready to come. That'll give me some time here. I can just send a book there, but I don't want him to have to be basically on a helicopter for an hour and a half. Fine. Bill said, I've got to go through the next part. I want to be sure that you are following through on getting the communication. What is the situation? When did they go out, or are they going out?
So two of them are out, but of course, the first person sure is the first person in my house.
They're out.
Thank you.
out for another 2 weeks or so. I'd like to be able to say on Tuesday that I will be making the state connection on such and such a date. But now that I'd rather feel that I could get the idea of just voting my own, I think it's a little bit too low in my soul.
You've got a lot of notice from the State of the Union.
I know.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Now, on claims, Baker's lines, what you can expect. This I want to go over the thing. He says that he would like to have his contact be my issue. He and her would have my issue. Great stroke of her, great comments. I, of course, would be happy.
Bother me if he'll do it. And here's the way to get him to do it, I think. Kleinbeach has a kind of a metaphysical attachment to John Mitchell.
I'm not scared of that. I scared of it. I put it very hard.
That's the way that
would fall. Right, the other one, no problem with you, I see. The other one, of course, is close.
Yep.
Now, the one that could do him in is Hunt.
Yep.
And the likelihood of that, I think, is not so great.
And Magruder.
Magruder, how does Magruder work with Colson?
Magruder claims to be, and Magruder's playing a game. He's telling different people different things to her, and I've not talked to him. But the impression I have is that Magruder is peddling the line that Colson is the guy who put the unmitigated pressure on him
to
do this.
Yep. This is how we're going to make it. made a mistake. You can get back on the place and ask me, and I'll say that as a criminal justice department. Now, he then says, however, that the way he feels the way that the word bad, I think he's correct in his strategy here, would be to call a lot of pipsqueak witnesses, which are a little bit better, really should ask questions over periods of weeks to build it up, and then build up the pressure to call. Now you've got to call Colson, you've got to call Alderman, you've got to call Ehrlichman and Jacobson. He says that he probably uses his strategy as this. He thinks they can conduct their own private investigation now. And he's going to confront her, but in fact, not one of the seven guys who are in the conviction. What's all this showing about? The question is whether or not it goes on. And so that's what he believes, that they can try to call the big men right away, prick the bar, and then from then on, everybody's going to be bored to death. Now, that is good strategy, provided we can call them. We said, well, now, he can't do it because of executive privilege. You're not going to ask him. He said, well, what he's talking about is that he gets on the nerve and limits it to his total limitation. About all of their questions and so forth. He said this could have one hell of a dramatic impact. I said, yeah, I said, you're going to have these people dragged up and so forth. Now, the real question, John, you've got to dress yourself to it. I think you're better to dress yourself to it than either Bob or Olson. Who really are we afraid of to come out better from executive privilege? It's really Bob or Olson.
I don't have a problem.
Why it is, I don't want to get Bob Colson frankly in the position of being up in the public bank and incorporated interrogatories involved verdict too.
All right, you've got three, including Sands, you've got four big fish.
Yeah, well, incidentally, that was a curious thing. I mean, Anthony did say that he thought that. That is utterly ridiculous. Because I can tell you that of all the people who call here, Stannis says, no goddamn thing. He's outraged, he's ridiculous and harassed. So you see, people are getting to him about stuff.
Yeah.
It's wrong. So
the money end of this is a troublesome end.
Yeah.
Mitchell and Stannis are involved in that.
And Mitchell, Stannis, and Kalmbach.
And Kalmbach, right.
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 None of them will even keep other customers.
And those chips are going to have to pretty much fall where they may, as I see it.
What are they going to say?
Well,
raise the money.
There's a hell of a lot of money, and it floated around, and there weren't receipts, and there was funny bookkeeping, and there was a lot of hanky-panky. And money went to Mexico and back, and there was just a hell of a lot of odds and stuff over there. Now, Stan says he's clean, and I suspect he is. I think he can tell a damn good story. So, Mitchell is going to end up being the fall guy.
What will Mitchell say?
I don't know what he'll say. I just don't know what he'll say. He's been puffing his pipe and looking at the ceiling and saying, you guys have got a problem. We're beginning to get to him a little bit. Dean's been hammering away on him to impress on him that he's got a problem here.
Well, what is he spending money? I don't know what he can say except to say, well, I just frankly didn't keep his close enough.
I think that's
his best. This money.
That's his best defense. That's his best defense.
I
was in the Justice Department, and so on and so forth.
It may
well,
be correct. It may not be.
I doubt.
You think he knew?
I think he knew, and I think LaRue was sort of his agent and kept him posted. LaRue's in this thing up to his ass. LaRue's a mysterious, shadowy figure that hasn't been called, and
he was in.
Oh yeah. Now, Bob had what we call constructive knowledge through a fellow named Gordon Strong. Gordon Strong's job here was Bob's liaison to the campaign. Gordon Strong kept the most meticulous attention to detail. But very little of it was it actually a part of the Bob. What Strong was a sort of a data bank, so that if Bob needed to know something, he'd pick up the phone and say, Gordon, what about this or that? And he knew.
Well, my point is, did Bob know that information was coming from town sources?
No, but I suspect Strawn did. And it was a situation where Bob...
Strawn doesn't mix it
down. Well, Strawn probably never comes into it. Probably never does. Because Strawn's job was not to direct anybody to do anything. It was just to keep informed. Right.
Okay.
Now, on Coulson, you have two diametrically opposite stories. You have his, and you have Dean's conclusions, born of a lot of odds and ends and circumstantial evidence that he's putting together. Dean tells me privately that he thinks that Coulson was, in fact, in meetings, and that Coulson probably was the efficient cause of Magruder doing this tap work. Now, that's John's, that's his conclusion based on circumstantial evidence.
I don't mean that. I don't think Coulson, I believe Coulson's totally capable of it. I would doubt that Coulson would be that an
idea. Well, let me tell you, the hunt trip to Dita Beard was a bonehead play. And that was a Coulson operation from beginning to end. So I have to assume that Chuck was kind of intrigued. I think he was, because Hunt's a cops and robber type. Now, I'm not going to tell you with any degree of assurance that Chuck's involved. But what's important to know about this is that there are circumstances which a diligent counsel could put together in the same way
now,
John
did. The point is that we come to the executive privilege.
Yes.
I mean, the first thing we've got to decide right. The client is, what do I want to know client is today about executive privilege? Should he insist on written interrogatory and then negotiate from that? Well,
that's what I say. It's very hard to do PR-wise.
But I just frankly want to keep him out.
You had a confrontation. You had one man. You had a dramatic
confrontation. And also, we got a typewriter.
Yeah.
And
sure.
It proved it out there.
Yeah.
That was hard evidence.
Yeah.
But the confrontation proved it in the public mind. And this case, the public mind is probably going to be convinced. They're going to believe the worst. And they're going to believe the worst probably, maybe about Bob and maybe about Colson.
Maybe
not Bob.
I don't think so. Ron argues that you're convicted the minute you walk up the Capitol steps.
I see.
And just being dragged out of the White House, dragged across town, dragged up those steps.
I'm against it, of course. I have to tell you, but and as I don't mean that Baker won't carry the hot horse. He said, if you decide that we'll do it, is that what's up? You know, if you decide, he said, but he says, this is what I want, you know. He says,
all right, let's take the other case. Let's suppose we said, as a matter of longstanding policy, back seven generations, the president's immediate staff does not testify, regardless of what the matter.
Right.
And so, in effect, we take the Fifth Amendment, and we sit here, and we just sit it out. Is that worse? Better channels power than that.
Sherwood, I checked that with Sherwood, that's a good part of who, I think some of our relations with Congress are complicated with the fact that we compartmentalize everything. Bob will come, hey, we can go tell him, say, Carl, let's get to see what's going on.
That's too bad.
That blew that, I thought it was.
Well, okay.
He was nice about it, but I can see he was very thoughtful. He just thought it was stupid.
Oh, I do too. Dean would be the ideal contact, but Dean.
Suspect.
Well, he's really not.
Who likes him? No, not in this case. But how is it the findings?
Fine. Should be fine.
Let me ask you just two for you before we go on other subjects. Among the matters that were raised, and I'll talk to you about these later, this veteran's got that information. I think, John, you have got to watch, on the basis of this, you've got to watch Weinberger more closely forward where he now is. I think Weinberger has no, strange enough, very little political sense, and that's all right. That should have been brought to my attention. The same thing is true for example, the other thing that is vitally important, and I want you to get on right away with Butts, Anchor Nelson, who is a very deep scout, has worked out a deal with Bob Cole for a compromise on that REA thing. He said it's a good compromise for people that are this and that. The committee meets on Monday. I would like to see that done.
Right.
In other words, we've got to do something. Please play to our friends. Let me tell you that I'm willing to do some things with the markers, but I aren't given the answer to places. But let me say that on the veterans, markers, those are two of our constituencies. Now, on this tax thing, we're going goddamn far to play to the fat cats. Those assholes have got any place else to go. Veterans and markers have. I don't think this was the smartest thing in the world.
Veterans thing we caught. We pulled off. We're off of that.
No, we were off.
We took damage both ways, getting on and getting off, but we're off. And I'll get on but something
else. He was also talking about the two bills he did, but I want to take another
veteran sales. All right.
Take another look at it. The other thing, Ager gave me a note. And that is, and this should have been brought to my attention because I would not have done it despite the cost. He said that the OFB had decided not to appoint members of the commission for his husband.
No.
And that we were singing.
No.
And
I was on this yesterday.
But
I was talking to Elliot about this yesterday, and I was over on the OMB, and it is going through. It'll be announced very shortly.
I want you to call Adair today. Tell him the president raised hell about this. You should, and don't tell him that they tell him that I got a change. Okay. Say, look, it was just simply a matter of delay and so forth, and the president's been kicking the asses all over down there, okay? And he wants you to know privately that it's going to be done, and just sit back, okay? Because when the president makes it, he keeps his word.
I ran across that yesterday. Papa announced this morning that he's going to move in on the Detroit local. He wants the president of Detroit local.
All right, what do we say?
I think you can program claims this morning.
Just
say that that's not to be.
How does he do it?
Well, he does it a couple of ways. He can either revoke his parole right now,
yeah,
or he can pass the word that